But first, there's a lot to keep our eyes on this coming week on the international front, so let's do our regular Monday check-in with the BBC. Rich Preston is our correspondent today. And Rich, there's news today that South Korea has proposed talks with the North. What should we look for in that regard in the week ahead?
Yes, that's right, Mark. Now, if these talks happen, they may be as soon as this Friday, and they would be the first high-level talks between the two Koreas for 2 years. Now, when South Korea's President Moon Jae-in came to power in May, he said he wanted closer engagement with the North. Now, Seoul and Pyongyang are very close to each other. We're talking 120 miles here, so about the same distance as Phoenix is to Tucson, so very close. And any escalation of aggression could, of course, have devastating consequences, which is why we watch this so carefully. Now, the timing here is what's crucial. This offer of talks comes just weeks after the North test-fired another ballistic missile, which it claimed was a long-range missile capable of hitting the US. Now, that act was, of course, condemned as usual by the international community. But the BBC's correspondent in Seoul, Karen Allen, says President Moon in South Korea is walking a delicate tightrope.
It's a reflection of the desire to engage on the part of President Moon. He's always made it very clear he is pursuing a twin-track approach with the North on the one hand, trying to re-engage with Pyongyang, and on the other hand, still keeping the pressure up with sanctions. There is a sense of optimism here.
So these talks, if they happen, will be welcomed globally, including, of course, in Washington. And if they go ahead, our correspondent says, they may begin with things like stopping the propaganda broadcasts that each side blast at each other across the border. It might also include reunions between families that were torn apart by the Korean War. Pyongyang, on the other hand, might want an end to the joint US-South Korea military drills, an easing of sanctions, and perhaps humanitarian aid, food, medical, etc. But North Korea has not yet responded to the invitation, so watch this space.
And Rich, this in some way may, in fact, tie into talks in Washington this week between the U.S. and China. How does that all fit together?
Yes, now President Trump, as you know, has been very vocal when it comes to, quote, dealing with North Korea. He knows a key way of doing this is to engage China, which is North Korea's only real ally. Mr. Trump has called on China to do more. China says they're doing what they can. Now, China is putting pressure on North Korea. Earlier this year, for example, China put a stop to all coal imports from the North. Now, that's significant because almost all of North Korea's coal exports go to China. But last week, a spokesman for China's foreign ministry said China had had enough of being told to do more. He said certain people, and he did not name names, had been, quote, exaggerating and giving prominence to the so-called China responsibility theory. He said that showed a lack of understanding of the situation. But then, a few days later, new trade figures came out, and they showed that trade between China and North Korea had risen by 10.5% in the first half of this year compared with the same period last year. So that, of course, added to the argument of those who reckon China could and should do more. So there's these talks on Wednesday in Washington between the US and China, and that's why these are interesting and significant. The US delegation is led by the Treasury Secretary, Steve Mnuchin, and the Chinese delegation will include the Vice Premier, Wang Yang.
And Rich, finally this morning, a top European official has described what he calls concentration camps for migrants in Libya. What can you tell us about what's going on there?
Yes, now, migration is one of these big stories in your area, in our area. You guys look at your southern border, and so do we here in Europe. Now, our southern border is basically the Mediterranean Sea. And in particular, we're looking at the south of Italy and its proximity to Libya in North Africa. And that's the route through which many migrants pass heading to Europe. Now, Libya and Italy are separated by just under 300 miles of Mediterranean Sea at their closest point. And I think we've all seen and heard the stories about boats trying to make their way across the water. Some successfully, many unfortunately unsuccessfully, with tragic consequences. Now, the new twist to this story is that Luxembourg's foreign minister, Jean Asselborn, has said the EU could inadvertently be driving migrants into what he called concentration camps in Libya. Now, migrants are being rescued at sea, but he says they're then returned to Libya and put in these camps where they're very vulnerable, you know, including children. And he said it was right that the EU should spend money training the Libyan Coast Guard to save migrants at sea, but that what happened next needed to be addressed. We voiced over his words.
These camps are in part concentration camps, camps where people are raped, where there is no law. We can only manage this crisis if we work much closer together and dig much deeper into our pockets to help the UN. Otherwise, it means something totally inhumane is happening in Europe's name.
Something totally inhumane happening in Europe's name. That was Luxembourg's Foreign Minister, Jan Asselborn. Now, all this comes ahead of a decision in the European Court of Justice on precisely how countries in Europe should deal with migrants and asylum seekers who reach their shores. Now, European law says that the EU country in which an asylum seeker first arrives is the one responsible for handling their asylum application. But some countries, especially the smaller ones like Croatia or Greece, have at times been overwhelmed with the number of people arriving. So in some cases, people enter Europe, they're not registered, and then they move on to other countries, Germany, Sweden, Austria. And that's caused problems in those countries. So the question is, should people be sent back to the first country they arrive in to be properly processed, or can exceptions be made in special circumstances, and so on and so forth? So Austria has asked the European Court of Justice for guidance on that. So there you go, talk of concentration camps in Libya and further debate on how Europe deals with migrants from North Africa and the Middle East.
Seems like a lot more debate still to come on that. That's the BBC's Rich Preston. Rich, thanks a lot.
Mark, my pleasure. Thank you.